Welcome to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing the Goal podcast, your destination for all things lacrosse. I'm your host, Kyle Devitt. Alongside me, Jack Piattelli. And it's just two of us today. We're gonna talk about summer recruiting, showcases we're both going to be at, showcases Jack's teams will be at, and how we actually made those decisions. So let's, great to have you as always. You look great.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You getting summer ready?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be busy, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
I heard a rumor you might be playing again. Is that true?
Really?
I heard a rumor. Is that true?
Really?
So I'm
getting the itch.
Are you?
I'm getting
you
the
should
itch.
Play.
Yeah, I'm trying to get myself. I got to lose a few more pounds, but, I've lost 20 pounds. I think I mentioned that. And
yes.
I've got another 15 to go. If I can do that, then I'll be ready to go.
Listen, we'll work out together. We'll do my push pull.
If I can look as good as you, I will definitely be playing.
It'd be, it's mostly just genetics, folks. I've done the same workout forever. I think consistency is the key. But let's get into, I'll say where I'm going first. So, my first trip is actually still during the high school season. I'm going to the ML8 High School Championships being held at St. George's School. There's a ton of prep schools from the area and around the country competing in that. It's not a club event, right? It's an actual high school event. I'm going to two of those, and I want to say kind of the reason why I did that this year, and that's my change. So this is a new event for me. It's not a new event in general. It's been around for a couple seasons, but I think one of the things that appeals to me the most about it is I get a second look at a lot of these prep programs without their seniors. And that's a huge draw for me as someone that covers that as a huge part of my job in season. So it preps me for next year. And, I get to rub elbows with a couple of those coaches that maybe I don't know. Cause listen, I don't really go to Connecticut that often. There's a lot of Connecticut teams in this tournament. We have Dan Arestia doing work for us, and I like to say to him often that Connecticut is a state of traitors because you vote for the Yankees, and you root for the Yankees and the Patriots, which is not allowed. It's not allowed. I don't know. Where do you get off? How dare you? How dare you do that? But they do it. And, I got to get down there. I got to get some FaceTime with some of those coaches, those players, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I believe the ML8. There was a different version when it first came out.
Yes.
It was a recruiting camp.
Yep.
And they had players come. It was a small group of elite athletes and high academic players, and they would have a number of NESCAC and Ivy League schools. So now they've changed the format.
Yep.
Now it's become a team format, which I like,
right?
Because we talked about that for the players. It works out well because they're going to be in an environment on the field that they're very comfortable with.
Right.
And again, there's going to be Ivy League coaches and NESCAC coaches there watching and hopefully recruiting some of them. But one of the things you mentioned, that it's still the high school season in Massachusetts,
right?
But the prep schools,
they've been over now.
They're
like a week.
They're done. So there were a number of recruiting camps taking place the first couple weekends in June, and even tournaments that the high school players can't attend if they're in public school.
I mean, I don't know if you remember, 2 years ago, everything got delayed all the way because they moved football. So it pushed the boys lacrosse in Massachusetts. And I'm covering the champ game. The champ game was on July 2nd.
Yes.
Okay. At St. John's Prep. It was at July 2nd. And there was a lightning delay in the third quarter. And no one knew what to do. And then they're like, I guess we're coming back tomorrow. And, listen, Danvers isn't that far from where I live. But I was still like, are you serious? I have to come back. We're doing another day. Cause at a certain point, listen, I'm going to be honest with everybody. At a certain point, coaches, me, doing writing for this, we just want it to be over so we can do something not necessarily different, but get a different look, right? Like, I don't know about you. I actually love going to tournaments. I don't hate it at all. I like, people are like, oh man, grind never ends for you. I'm like, oh yeah, it's so hard. It's not that hard to sit in the sun and watch kids have fun playing lacrosse, man. Like, that's a great part of life. I enjoy it. I see why other people would be like, oh, I don't want to go outside and be in the sun all day. But I actually like it because I don't have to, and we talked about this in a previous podcast, I don't have to always get it right with a kid, especially if I'm writing positive things about them. Like, you have to earn that, obviously, with your play. But I don't go there with a list of like, oh, I got to watch this kid play. I just go, I'm going to roll up, watch some teams, see who stands out. I've written up kids that had no one was giving them a sniff, but they play great in front of me. You know, sometimes that's kind of what recruiting's all about, a certain sense. Like play really well in front of the right person, mm-hmm. form that first connection,
right.
and you got to keep building it, right? You can't just rely on that, but you keep building that connection. That's how you end up at the school you end up at.
Timing is everything, and you can't take a play off.
Right. Listen, that's the best lesson. And, you know, part of us doing this specific podcast was to prep some parents for summer. You know, like, you're not every kid's going to get a write-up. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm doing it solo. I don't have a team.
Right.
It's me, dude. And the reason it's dependable is that, like, I'm very honest with everybody. There are plenty of people that I have upset with writing up certain people and didn't write up other people. And I'm like, well, I didn't see them play well. And it's not a defense, it's a fact. And I think that's a huge part of what we're going into. We're going into fact season, right? The second season is facts. You have to play well. You have to be focused. You can't just roll out.
And the facts will play out.
Yes.
They will play out.
Always.
And one thing I'd like to say, to your point, you're watching every player on the field.
Yes.
Parents tend to watch their son.
Yes.
Okay? So parents' recommendation, watch the game.
Yeah.
Watch the other players out there. Watch how they compete. Is your son competing? Same attitude, same drive, you know, same passion for the game. Focusing between the lines. Let the parents please keep your comments to the refs, to yourself.
Yep.
Right. The one thing I don't like about going to tournaments is standing on the sideline with parents yelling and screaming at the officials, and they have such high expectations for their kids. Let them enjoy it. Have fun.
Yeah. You know what I started doing? And I'm just going to reveal this because, like, what are you going to do to stop me? I started sneaking behind the benches to watch how the kids talk to each other and how the coaches talk to the kids and how all of that interaction took place. And it has totally informed me in a positive way to look things to look for that I will pay attention to when they're playing. So are you getting good instruction? Yes, no, whatever. Are you interacting with your teammates well after they make a bad play? After you make a bad play, are they interacting well with you? Do they respect you? All these things are actually like pretty integral. I remember last year I was at NELS, which is another tournament I'm going to again at Lincoln Sudbury, another team-based event for high schools.
Excellent event Brian Vaughn runs.
Excellent event run by Brian Vaughn, LS coach. And I will say that I saw Charlie Packard play in that. And Charlie Packard in that event became one of my favorite players because he, not because of what he did on the field. What he did on the field, I already knew who he was. What he did off the field was he was talking to every single kid on the Hingham roster when they came off. And he's like, all right, let's go. We're going to try and do this. I think you did this play well. Let's do this. Or a guy would score and he'd be the first person to celebrate with them. Right? Like, that's the kid I want to give my attention to. You know, like, it's great that people score goals, all that stuff. I think, you know, and again, we rail against this every time on the podcast. Highlight culture is terrible for lacrosse. Highlight culture, it ruins a lot of things. And one of the ways to counteract that is to focus on the things that people do well that aren't just sick goals and awesome sellies and stuff like that. Like, I don't have any patience for that, right? Like, it's great. You score the goal. Like, you don't have to do like you got to eat your stick or whatever you're doing now, like spooning it into your mouth. I think that's kind of, you're in a summer tournament, like you should have fun, but like, that's not going to get you a write-up just because you score a cool goal.
Yeah, how many players were involved to get you the ball to get that shot off?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And I've known a few college coaches now showing up at events, not in uniform, meaning, you know, Clark.
Yep.
Not wearing a Clark shirt or right. a hat, standing behind the bench like you.
Yep.
And observing, because you learn a lot from yep. the players, you know, what they're saying, what they're doing, how they're reacting, getting pulled off the field when they don't want to come off the field. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, they take a shot and misses the goal and they're not happy about it.
Throw
the
stick.
And their palms are up, or they throw the helmet on the ground and, you know, it's not good. But
no.
The coaches are watching. They're yeah. watching all the time.
Yeah.
And they're starting to recruit the parents too.
Yep. Got to recruit. Listen, you're getting recruited too, guys. Just so you know.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what, this is my face, right here. This is my face. You won't, guess what? You won't see me. I'm a ghost on purpose. I don't go branded, okay? I go in the most plain clothes I can find. I sit with people I might know. Maybe I don't. I walk around. I don't stay for the whole game all the time, guys, because I can't afford to, because I have to see as many people as possible. But I also like to switch fields as soon as someone maybe susses me out. I'm out. I'm gone. I'm going to another game. Because I think that's valuable. Is like, you have to kind of be invisible when you're evaluating. And obviously it's not the same case for the schools that are recruiting, right? They're out there. They're trying to get the best kid for their program. And I think, you know, one of the other things I see that I got to tell you, everyone's got to stop doing this. Stop walking up to the parents as the parent, to coaches as the parent. It's crazy. Like the greatest thing I see is kids walk right up to coaches and just like, coach, wanted to introduce myself. Great to see you. Hey, I'm playing on this game. You don't waste too much time, but you take the initiative. Coaches value that.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's everything. It's everything.
Yes.
They don't want to hear from the parents.
No.
I mean, because they're going to have to grow up real quick when they get to college.
Yeah.
And it's only a year away.
You're not in the dorm room.
No.
You're not there.
No.
Yeah. I think that's a huge part of it.
You're not locking his door at night.
No, definitely not. It's you might be calling him, you might not be answering. So I think one of the things that, you know, we wanted to do this podcast for is not to just prep like where we're going to be, but, you know, some of the things that we look for, some of our goals, right? So where's one of the places that you're going first?
We start off at the Lexitude Tournament Legacy, which is very well run.
Yes.
The nice thing about that tournament is they have a double A and a single A bracket. We'll bring a number of our high school teams. They also have a youth portion as well, which is run differently than that. But there are a number, what I like about Legacy, there's a number of coaches at a number of different levels, you know, Division I, Division II, and Division III. Yes. And most of our players are Division II and Division III players. We'll get a handful of Division I from time to time. We do. I mean, yep. But every program's going to have a handful of Division I top blue chip players. But there's a vast variety of coaches, which I really like at Legacy, and the competition's good, and it's good for our teams. It's local, you know, so we don't have to go that far to play and compete at a high level and be watched by a number of college coaches, not only locally but nationally.
I will say that I am also going to that, and last year it was honestly.
I saw you there.
Yeah, it was great. You're allowed to see me. I know you. I don't want people that don't know me to come up to me. But it was a great format for me in terms of, you know, I look at events not only for the talent, but like how many teams are there, how many kids can I see, what age groups stand out. And for me, Legacy was the biggest tournament I've ever covered. So for me, I was pumped to just be there to watch all the teams. I watched some single A. I don't care. I'll watch it. You know, like
it's good lacrosse.
I like watching, you know, players. You know, I've had coaches for club programs reach out and like, hey, we're going to this. Are you going to be there? And I'll say yes or no. I'm not going to guarantee you I'm going to write up your team, but like I'll make an effort. You know, if you make an effort, I'll make an effort. And I feel like the way that all of this works is if everybody is transparent and honest, everything's fine. As soon as things start getting like weird and people are like sending me, trying to get me to cover stuff, their kid or whatever, I'm like, I'm not answering that email. Because to me, to keep it above board, it's got to be me as an evaluator using my 20 years of experience evaluating your son for and this is the other thing I want to tell people. I don't say this kid's going to go D1, this kid's going to go D2, this kid's going to go D3. I say the things they're good at, the things I liked about their game, maybe an anecdote about a play they made. That's what I do. And if that helps you get noticed by a college coach, awesome. It's not even my goal. It's just to be honest, to provide some feedback. You know, like this guy, he did this great play. He seems like he knows what he's doing, had some great moves, you know, great for his team, great teammate. I look for that. Like I write up short stick D-middies. I do, because they're important. You know, even a club team, every club team has short stick D-middies. Maybe they don't, most of them don't start out as short stick D-middies, just like college. But plenty of kids are first line middies on their club team, and then they go to college, and now you're short stick D-middie. So there are levels to everything. And the thing that I like the most is exploring that and trying to find ways to write up kids that do well that maybe aren't on top level teams. You know, I think that's important. I think I again, we say this all the time. We're D3 guys. You know, I want D3 coaches to be like, oh yeah, I think Devitt wrote about him once. That's great. You know, like if it helps, all the better. It's not about hurting or choosing someone over someone else. It's just about helping players that stand out and do well in events, maybe get an extra eyeball. You know, that's all it's about for me. And I know for you, you know, you're developing players as you're playing, which I think is something that maybe not all the parents are paying attention to because again, they're just watching their son. But part of your job is to develop those players so they're ready, maybe not this summer, but next summer, to get the look they want.
The other thing we're doing was we're also developing coaches, young coaches.
Right.
You know, we're watching them, making recommendations, making sure they respect their opponents, and they keep their players in line and check, and they respect their opponents as well, and you know, play for the fun of the game. So it's very important, and just focus between the lines, and don't. You know, don't have great expectations. Expect to be competitive.
Yeah.
But don't have great expectations.
Right. One of the things we talked about on a previous podcast with Chris Cameron from the Tomahawks is choosing the events. So why don't you kind of delve a little deeper into how you choose them and what your assessment of level is without kind of just naming out events?
Yeah, we like to have a variation of local and distant
right.
Competition. So if you stay local at the high school level, sometimes you're playing against the same teams. And like we play in a spring youth league with, you know, a number of the local club programs. So we don't want to play against them all summer as well.
Right.
Right. Plus we want to go down to Maryland and we want to go to Virginia. What's great about that is there are different coaches in those areas that attend those events, and you're playing against different teams. But we also want to keep in perspective the cost that's involved for the parents
right.
to go down to, you know, Maryland, Annapolis, and have to get a hotel for 3 nights because some of these tournaments now are 3 days instead right. of 2 days, and
right.
the cost to get down there. So, you know, we do one distant one. We go to Philly as well, NXT. Because there's a lot of coaches there, but it's amazing when you go to these different events where the coach, where the kids are getting notes from the different colleges,
yes.
you know, a lot of Pennsylvania and Virginia and Pennsylvania, and you go down to Maryland, you get to Maryland, and, you know, further south as you go down, and even the Carolinas. So we have to keep in perspective the cost for travel,
right.
but we also like to get our players playing against different competition and being exposed to different coaches throughout the whole summer.
So when you are, you pick the long, what's the longest tournament you're traveling for?
Annapolis.
Okay. So, and what is that? That's the
Naptown.
Right. And you're going to NXT, which is Philly.
Right.
Right. So those are kind of, that's actually not that far.
No.
To be fair, I think that's actually as far as I'm going, because the farthest I'm going is the Under Armour All-American game, just because I've never been. And there's a lot of New England kids in it, and I'm excited to watch it and, you know, talk about it and go through it. So not everything I do is just recruiting. I think it's important to, like, recognize and acknowledge achievement as well. So I'm excited to go to that. One of the other places I'm going is the Primetime Shootout in Babson, which is that same weekend as the ML8 event, No Rest for the Wicked. And I went to that event last year, and I know for a fact certain guys in Massachusetts got recruited off of that event this year, which I think is great. I'm not going to name any names, but I was talking to coaches, and that's a great event that are for teams that are local, like you were talking about. That's a great local event for all those, you know, Massachusetts, Clams, all those teams that are within driving distance are enjoy that event, right? And I think events like that, like I've split up my schedule into events like that, and I've added these team events, like we said, with ML8 and also NALS. NALS kind of overlaps with Legacy, but like not really. I'll probably go for half day on each one. And I think that's, it gives me a good taste, right? You know, could I be at a tournament every weekend like I was being subsidized by a D1 university? No, but that's probably the goal eventually. But I think that's, I get a good mix of teams, right? There's plenty of teams that we don't talk about as much because they're not as prevalent or they're not producing as many D1 talents. But that doesn't mean they're less important or the players are less important. It's just I want to get small tournaments and big tournaments. You know, and I think Babson's kind of a nice middle ground. And then I think the smallest one I go to is the Primetime New Hampshire in Plymouth, which I love. I love that tournament because it's out in the open. It's in New Hampshire. You get a lot of different teams coming to that I've never seen before, despite it being Northern New Hampshire. So that one's a lot of fun to check out. The level is not, I wouldn't say it's on par with Legacy at all, but seeing those different players is great because there's also a lot of great D3 and D2 coaches there to network with and talk with and talk to them about guys, right? And I think that's kind of one of the things that, you know, maybe you have everyone's phone number, right? I like to just talk to people on sidelines. I've had conversations with college coaches that have no idea who I am. It's great. I'm just like, hey, I'm just writing this up.
Yeah.
They're like, who are you? I was like, gotta go. You know, like that's part of the most fun I have because they're the most honest when they're not talking to someone that has someone to gain. I don't have anything to gain, but they don't know that. So I enjoy those conversations and it's always great to talk to coaches. Like, you know, if a coach recognizes me and comes up, I always say hi. But it's the interpersonal dynamics of these tournaments are always fascinating to me. You know, you have a lot of guys on that coach for you that coach somewhere else, right? Like they're college coaches or they're high school coaches. And, you know, when I've seen you guys in person, it's always like the coaches are always together, which I don't know if you know, have you noticed that?
Yeah.
With you guys? Like your coaches are always with your other coaches, kind of like there to support and also like their team's behind them and they're not waiting for the field. They're just there to see their friends play. The kids are there to see their friends play. The coaches are there to just root on their other coaches. I think that's super interesting. And is that on purpose? Like how did that happen?
Yeah, we just have good people. You know, we create an environment where, you know, I want good people and that care about the players, what's best for the players. You know, we might, in some cases, we may not have, you know, the best X's and O's guy.
Yeah.
But we get a guy who actually understands the game, works really well with kids and knows how to develop them and, you know, is good in game situations, but good person. He's there for the right reasons. Loves to coach, loves to be with the players, and they love, you know, being together and
right.
and feeding off each other and learning from each other, and that's really what it's all about.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have new coaches this summer?
Yeah, we have a couple of kids who just graduated from college who will be assistant coaches. We never have a college kids be a head coach.
Right.
We have, and so they'll work with our better coaches like a Bussy Adam, you know, who's been around forever, or sure. Keith Campbell or Kevin Campbell. And, you know, they'll bring them along. And so that's how we actually build our coaching staff is we allow the college kids to come in and learn from some of the best coaches that we have.
How's do the alumni come back? Is that part of it?
Yeah, too? Alumni, a number of the alumni come back, which is great because they really know what the expectations are from us as coaches. And, you know, they know what's expected from the players. You got to show up to practice.
Right.
You got to show up at tournaments. You got to make the commitment.
No flip-flops.
You know, no flip-flops. Same with the coaches. But the other tournament that we go to, I believe it's at Lehigh again this year, is the NLF.
Right.
Which is a very good tournament. The competition is crazy, crazy good. Competition at Hogan's tournament, the Naptown, is very, very good.
Yes.
The unfortunate thing about some of these tournaments, which parents don't understand, well, they do, but, you know, we try and keep our costs down too, but some of these tournaments, $5,000 a team.
Yeah.
You know, and in some cases, you got to pay for the film as well. And right. I just hope things, you know, sort of settle down and not get too crazy out there.
Well, I think one of the things that I've noticed in the past year and a half, 2 years, is that the recruiting profile consolidation, you want to call it that? Everyone's got an IMLCA profile now, which I think is good.
It is good.
It's very good. That has helped a lot of players in terms of, it helps me, first of all, to know where they're from and all that stuff. It's a great resource. But it also helps the college coaches. And one of the things that, you know, I have kids on my team that I coach now that are asking me, like, coach, how do I get film? Like, we don't have film for Hopkinton. Like, how do we get it? And I'm like, well, you should get it through your club teams. And I'm just curious, do you have a process for that? Is it just through the tournaments or do you guys do your own?
Yeah, what we do is for every high school team, we purchase film from two tournaments. So players who are on our in our program will get at least four. No, they'll get between 8 and 10 game films.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
For that's what age group does that start?
That's high school. That's part of the tuition because the youth game's not filmed yet. You may see that down the road, but yeah. So we.
I would bet this summer there are youth games being.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there are somewhere somehow. You know, they want to get a highlight reel going, but yeah, we offer 8 to 10 games per summer for our high school players. That's part of the whole tuition because every tournament has their video guy, and then you know you buy it from the video guy, and then you know. To download it, but with what the IMCLA is starting to do now, though, if you're affiliated with the IMCLA tournament, they're offering the film. So if you go to their tournament, they're going to have the film for you, which is great.
Right.
So they're going to keep the cost down, and they're also going to offer you the film, which is fantastic.
Right. Do you think that the importance of film really went through the roof because of COVID? Do you think that there are now, or was that always there? Because to me, like covering it, it seems like film has become this huge deal to college coaches as well as the players. Whereas before, it was part of the package. Sure, it was talked about. But it was more emphasized that coaches would see them play in person than it is after COVID.
No question about it. Yeah. They're not going to make a decision until they see them play live.
Right.
And we know that. But yeah, I mean, COVID was... obviously a different animal altogether. Sure. And the only chance they could see them play is through film for the most part. And now it's a combination. I think that players don't use film to their advantage because they're not updating their highlight reels all the time. And you know, with technology and everything today, I mean, you should be,
you do with AI.
I mean,
just go get an AI
you
bot.
You should be updating your profile and your highlight reel all the time. Keep it short, keep it simple, but you know, get it out there as often as you can.
Can I give you a pitch for what I really want to improve this summer that I know I'm not going to see? Can I give you a pitch?
Yes.
Club teams. Stop doing fancy fonts for your numbers. It is out of control. I can't read them. And sometimes dudes get lost just because I can't read their number.
On the uniforms,
please. And also, listen, this is an organizational thing. If your numbers are wrong in the book, your numbers are wrong in the book. Don't come at me because the number's wrong in the book.
Right.
That happened to me like 10 times last summer. And I was just kind of like, this is what the book says. Like, this is not a me issue. This is a me getting bad data. You know, I think that's a huge thing. And, you know, one of the things that we were talking about here is choosing your events. I think, you know, one of the biggest things about the event is the book has to be right. Right. I think that's like a huge thing. Or like there are teams that, and I know you know that teams do this, but like there are teams that just like don't put their kids' information in the book. It's like, what's the point of you being here then? Are you that worried your kid's going to get poached from another club team? Like, what are we doing? Like, it makes it so much harder for the college coaches and me to get an accurate read on who this kid is. Because that's the most important thing, right? Is the identification of who the kid is. And if we don't have the tools for that, me and the college coaches, for different reasons, can't do our jobs. And I think that's like a huge part of, listen, it's not like the biggest deal, but it's a huge part of some of these. It's why I choose the tournaments I choose. I'll tell you that right now. Is their book good? Yeah. Do they harass me about who I am to get the book? You're up. It's pretty easy. You know, like if you're a good event and you make things easy, that makes my decision easier. And I'm sure it makes your decision easier as well.
Right? Yeah, no question about it. Organization is very important. Number of coaches, the information available to the coaches has to be on track.
Yeah.
Got to be right on.
Well, let's talk about your event then. You have a Piatelli showcase at Springfield College on July 19th. We went last year with our former podcast producer, Saf, not Yes. Maybe that confuses people. It confuses me in my brain sometimes. Sometimes I call him Saf in my head before I say Yes. But we were doing coaches interviews. The teams were very evenly selected. And I think there was a lot of good feedback from that event. So, you know, same thing planned for this year?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's an opportunity for our players and any other players locally to come to Springfield College. We'll have 40 coaches on hand from, you know, mostly New England and maybe Pennsylvania.
We got New York. We got RBI House.
Yeah, we get, yeah. So
now the Piatelli?
But we've had a lot of success over the years with the schools that attend. You know, they like our players, and a lot of like Twisters come, the Tomahawks come. But it's we get between 100 and 150 players. Keep it small.
Yep.
And again, it's figure it's a home event for Piatelli Lacrosse. Right. You know, it's an event for our players and any local players that want to, you know, it's 4 hours long, 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock, but you're going to play in front of 40 coaches. We only have two fields
on the
turf. We have four teams, you know, we limit it, you know, to a small group of players. So they get a lot of run. They get, an opportunity to be seen by a number of coaches. And that's, you know, it's not that expensive. It's $200 for the 4 hours. Yeah, and it's worked out well for a number of our players and the kids that come.
Yeah, and I cover it, so it's fun. So check that out. But that's not our last event. I think we're going to the same thing for our last event.
What's right? that?
Lake Placid, baby.
Yes, Lake Placid.
I mean, you don't have teams in that, right?
Just the alumni team.
Oh, just the alumni. You have the alumni team competing in the Open again?
Yes.
Awesome.
And I have one U team going to Lake Placid this summer.
Oh, great.
That's a different week. But yeah, we have the Piatelli alumni team going to Lake Placid that plays in the Open Division. They've lost in the semifinal last 2 years. 2 years ago in overtime last year by a goal. Very competitive, a lot of fun. We get about 25 players who played in the program, come back. If they're still in college or out of college, play, put them up in a house
right
for the 3 nights. They pay a small fee, but it's a lot of fun. It's great to reunite with a number of players that have been in my program, and they loved getting together and playing together again. It's I get to see you and hang out with you and have a few beers. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great event. I'm going for Scholastic, and I'm playing in the
What age group?
I'm not.
Come on.
I'm gonna. Well, last year I played for like four teams. This year I'm just gonna play for one team. I'm eligible for 45s. So your boy's going to play 45s. And did get a great penalty last year for a clean-out hit that I thought was really funny. Because it's like, I'm the smallest guy here, and you just gave me a penalty for cleaning out this dude who wasn't paying attention? All right, that's fine. If you've listened to our podcast with Jeff Cohen, you can understand a little bit more about how I get a little too excited maybe in games. But the Scholastic Division, usually about four or five teams from the region show up to that. It's in the dead period, so not as much, you know, concentration on
recruiting.
But more. I will say it is the reason I'm going is to get second looks at kids and third looks when they think no one's looking.
Right.
You know, that's how I know that you're a dog. You know, if you're really balling out in Placid after you've been there, you know, done the whole summer and you're still hungry. Like, that shows up, man. Like, I value that. And that's what I want to push. You know, like, I like kids like that. Hustle kids, man. And a lot of those teams are not top-tier teams because it's in the dead period. But it's a lot of teams, you know, not secondary teams. I don't like to tier everyone out. But teams that maybe I haven't seen as much of. That's for sure. And then I get a second look at them. Get kids kind of play on different teams. It's fun. And it's, you know, it's a great event for me because I get to play later. And I get to... Listen, if you've never been to Lake Placid, how much fun is Lake Placid?
It's wonderful. It's a great family event. I played in the tournament 10 years, and now my boys are playing in it. So for them to be playing in it now after I played in it, it's just a great experience. The venue is awesome. The family that runs it, Kevin Lavelle,
yep.
His father, George Lavelle, Mike Lavelle. Mike Lavelle was the Thornton winner. For Syracuse when they won a national championship. I forget what year that was.
'09.
Thank you. And Mike Lavelle, Team USA, Kevin Lavelle, captain of Team USA, great family. They run a fabulous tournament. They've been running it for over 30 years now. It's just one of the best.
Kevin Lavelle cleaned out one of my best friends in Placid the first time my friend went to Placid, and it was right in front of me on the side, and I laughed so hard. I've never laughed so hard in my life. He goes, "What happened?" It's one of my friends that played at Clark, and he's, "What?" And then Kevin just looked up and saw me and was like, picked up the ball and ran down to score. It's great. You get to, you know, if you're looking to rub elbows with some lacrosse legends and celebrities, no better place than Lake Placid.
No, everybody shows up.
It's incredible. It's a great family experience, and I think that's gonna kind of bring this to a close. Hopefully, you guys enjoyed a little bit of the information that we have here. You know, I love this time of year, right? This is the second season. Okay, I do need a break, but I'm not gonna take one. I don't care. I'm just gonna go, and we're gonna have fun. That's how it's gonna be.
One recommendation for you.
Yes.
Do not forget your sunblock.
Oh yeah. No. I won't wear the big hat though. I won't do it.
I don't need the sunblock.
Well, yeah. Well, I forget what region. I was gonna say that's Sardinian skin, but I don't know what region you're from, so I don't know if that's insulting or not. But again, thanks for listening to New England Lacrosse Journal's Chasing Goal Podcast. For Jack Piattelli, I'm Kyle Devitt. We'll see you this summer.